Even people who really look forward to going to work sometimes have to deal with coworkers who are not pleasant. But we'll spend the rest of this show talking about workers who go way beyond just not pleasant. These are the workers that Michael Hausman calls toxic workers in a report co-written with Dylan Miner from the School of Management at Northwestern University. Michael Hausman is the Chief Analytics Officer at Cornerstone On Demand. He's a trained economist and calls himself a data scientist to the core. Michael Hausman, welcome to The Exchange.
Great. Thanks for having me.
So what is Cornerstone On Demand all about?
Yeah, so Cornerstone is a talent management software suite that spans, you know, recruiting, hiring, onboarding, compensation. There are a lot of different modules there. And then the core of the function that I've been working on is kind of a big data and analytics platform that uses data to draw out insights about the workforce.
So I see that most of your research is about finding and motivating good employees. So how much research goes into the ones who are not necessarily so valuable, at least to begin with?
Yeah, we were surprised because there's not much research out there on this topic, right? The management research out there tends to focus on how do you get the best performers, how do you find those superstars, and how do you motivate people to perform their best. And so naturally, we looked and we didn't see much that talked about the worst and people who are problematic in the workforce. We saw a big opportunity to really enlighten people about where how to identify those people and the impact they have once they join the workforce.
So given the dearth of data, how would you and your co-author go about this work?
Yeah, so we started by looking at termination reason codes. So we realized that it's hard to look at behaviors like, you know, rudeness and workplace bullying and things like that, but we can identify when someone is asked to leave the organization for something really bad, like, for example, sexual harassment, drug and alcohol abuse, workplace violence. I mean, this is really bad stuff. But those things do create a paper trail within these HR systems of record. So by identifying those termination reason codes, we found 3 to 5% of the population in these workforces were terminated for one of those really bad reasons. And then we backtracked and we were able to say, well, what predictors did we have that someone's going to behave in this manner? And what was the impact they had on their coworkers when they were in the workforce?
Are termination reason codes consistent across the business world? In other words, if I end up getting released from a job and I get a code 799, does that stick with me and everybody instantly knows in HR what a 799 is?
Yeah, so it's not entirely consistent. This data came from, I want to say, about 11 companies spanning a number of different countries and about 50,000 employees in total. And unfortunately, some of the heavy lifting that we had to do was standardizing those reason codes and making some judgment calls as to what we considered toxic and what was not as toxic.
All right, so let's define toxic worker. It sounds like it goes beyond just, you know, poor or subpar job performance.
Yeah, so for this study, we really looked at just the worst of the worst. Reasons, you know, things like I mentioned, sexual harassment, drug and alcohol abuse, things that should never, ever occur in the workplace. But what we found, what we think is that there's far more behavior that's less than this level of severity. Like I said, you know, bullying, people who are rude to one another, who undercut one another, who do, you know, bad things, but things that aren't as bad as what we looked at in the paper. So one of the punchlines for us was this is the tip of the iceberg. We found 3 to 5% of people, you know, are doing really bad stuff, but we think a much bigger percentage are doing things that are also inappropriate but can't be tracked.
Michael Hausman's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the co-author with Dylan Miner of a report on toxic employees in the workplace, hidden costs and how to spot them. You can join the discussion on the Jefferson Exchange, and maybe you have a story about a toxic coworker you had at one time. 800-838-3760 on the phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. So, Michael, do toxic workers start toxic by nature, or does something in the workplace turn them?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, we found two things. One is we were able to identify a lot of these people, when they go through the hiring process, and in some cases they take a psychometric test, which is like a personality test, we found predictors of someone being toxic. We found that they tended not to be very conscientious, that they were not service-oriented, so they tended not to help one another. But we also found something really interesting is once they made it into the workforce, everyone around them tends to behave in a more toxic manner. So toxic behavior is in some ways contagious, and when you see someone behaving in this manner on your team, you yourself are many times more likely to engage in similar behavior.
So does that mean that the toxic workers are somewhat charismatic then? I mean, are they natural-born leaders or psychopaths or something else?
Yeah, among other, we did find that they tended to be fairly persuasive and charismatic. We found, for example, in terms of their productivity and performance, we found them to be more productive than your average employee, but with lower quality, that they tended not to do the job as well, but they tended to really power through things. So it's not cut and dry. That toxic worker isn't worse on all measures of employee performance. In some ways, they may look like a very high performer, and as a result, companies may be inclined to let them stay and sometimes tolerate this bad behavior.
Well, so certainly high risk with them, but it sounds like the potential might be there for high reward as well if they can be turned. Would that be fair to say?
So you would think, and in terms of performance alone, that does seem to be the case. But here's the rub. When they join the workforce, when they join the team, everyone around them is much more likely to leave the organization. And the cost of a termination, a voluntary term, in one of these organizations can, you know, range from $5,000 to $10,000. So when we did the math, we found that when one of these individuals is on a team, that they can cost the organization about $12,000. And by way of comparison, when you hire a top performer, someone who's in the top 1% of performance, that person earns an additional $4,000 to $5,000 for the organization. So the point is, avoiding a toxic worker is 2.5 times more important than hiring a top 1% performer. So it's really bad stuff by way of comparison.
Okay, certainly by the numbers. Do toxic workers tend to cluster together? Do they find each other and sort of gravitate into the same group? Or do they actually repel each other maybe?
You know, we didn't find that. And luckily for us, this was a good study sample in that where people were placed, what teams they belonged to was actually fairly random. What we found was that they ultimately, again, there was that level of contagion. So we didn't think that they necessarily gravitated towards others that were also toxic, but those people that they did gravitate towards tended to become more toxic.
Well, not surprisingly, we have a few people with some stories to tell here. Here's Luke in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking toxic workers with Michael Hausman.
Thank you. I would like to pose a question. We had a employee who left our agency because he moved. And then once he returned back to the same agency who he had worked there for about approximately 5 years, found out one of the same workers were there, and he decided to not come back to the agency that he was working at for 5 years and rather go to a new department. And if management is aware of that, how can one be made to be proactive into making or suggesting a change into that toxic worker? My answer off the line.
Hang on just a second, Luke. I just need to clarify the question. So the worker left, wanted to come back after 5 years, but said, you know what, if that person's there, I won't come back. Was that the essence of it?
That's it.
Okay, great. Thanks, Luke. Appreciate that. Michael, what's a good way to proceed in that situation?
Yeah, great point. And honestly, what Luke mentioned is completely consistent with what we found, which is that toxic workers are strong predictors of who's likely to join and who's likely to leave the organization. Unfortunately, there's no magic bullets. Once they join the organization, it is difficult to get them out until they behave in, you know, a way that creates that infraction. The one thing I tell people is creating a paper trail, making the manager aware of it, talking to HR. The more information that's gathered on these sort of behaviors over time, then the more it becomes possible to either move them or transition them into another role or at some point terminate them altogether.
What are the ways in which they tend to spread toxicity through the workplace?
Yeah, a great question, and actually something that we're digging into in a separate paper. So it's really hard to get at the causal mechanism of what's going on. But one of the theories that we have is that frequent interactions, and something we're studying is seating arrangements within the workplace and whether you sitting next to someone, you tend to emulate their behaviors, both good and bad. The other is kind of what I would consider like the broken windows theory of crime, which is that you look around you and if you see things that are occurring that are going unchecked, you assume that those things are okay and you start to behave in that manner. So, you know, this contagion effect could be direct transfer by talking to one of them or just observing passively what they're doing. And we're absolutely digging into that because we think it's really interesting.
Well, that's one of the things I noticed about the report, too, was that there seems to be a split on toxic workers. Some of them do think the rules should be followed, and they're kind of jerks in trying to apply them, and some of them don't think the rules should be followed.
Yeah, that was surprising, and we found that was a lesson for us, because we tried asking up front during that personality test, do you like to follow the rules? And not surprisingly, people who were toxic, they lied, right? They would say, oh, yeah, I always follow the rules all the time. But when you started to ask them about questions to self-assess, say, their technical proficiency, and then you tested them, what we found was that was a way to elicit their willingness to exaggerate, to fib. And so we found that you could call them, you know, exaggerating, overconfident, but they way over-exaggerated their skills when it came to technical proficiency. So that was one strong predictor.
Another question here from Archie in Talent. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Michael Hausman. We're talking about toxic workers.
Yeah, I worked in a healthcare field in Medford, and we had an employee who was a sycophant, which means she basically invents everything that she's doing verbally, but she never does any of it. She just talks, and no matter what happens, it's always going to be a perfect condition verbally. And then an hour later, the story is completely changed because nothing she said was true. And it was really hard to pin her down on anything. And there ought to be some kind of filter to get these people out, because they will say exactly what they think you want them to hear and has nothing to do with reality.
All right. Thanks for that, Archie. Appreciate that. So, Michael, how to proceed in that kind of situation?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I will say, to Archie's point, I have a bit of a background in healthcare. I studied organizational behavior in healthcare organizations originally. And this is a really systemic problem in healthcare. And you find often those engaging in disruptive and toxic behavior are the highest ranking, highest paid individuals. It's the surgeon who doesn't really care and gets to do whatever he wants. So these are really problematic issues when you're talking about a healthcare system. As far as kind of the contrast between action and words, yeah, again, creating that paper trail and then potentially trying to pin that person down and understand exactly what's going on and kind of filtering through the noise to get at the true signal of what's occurring. But that's a great example of I would consider toxic behavior that we'd never be able to identify in this study, because it's something that would be very hard to track and ultimately probably not likely to get her terminated.
Sorry, so when you talked about remedies for the rest of the workforce, maybe changing seating positions, reassignment, stuff like that, does any of it really go directly to saying to the worker, we consider you toxic in this workplace and we want to change you, and here's our plan for how?
Yeah, you know, so a lot of those are more avoidance types of behavior, mm-hmm. which is kind of isolating that toxic worker, trying to minimize their contact with the rest of the workforce. But you make a great point. There's other remedies or at least approaches that would more directly confront that individual and say, listen, you know, there's a pattern of behavior here. We're noticing it. We're getting reports from multiple employees. Can we talk about what's going on and how we might be able to fix it? I think that's a great point, and that's something that's probably underutilized, especially in today's environment. You know, it tends to be very litigious, and people are very cautious about ruffling feathers. But that's a great point, and that's something we'd love to study, is what are the interventions that could reduce this behavior so you don't need to terminate someone. You can just have a good talk to them and hopefully they can turn things around.
There's a reference in the report to first placement workers, which makes me wonder if people are more likely to be toxic at their first job or early in their career versus somebody who's been grinding away at the same thing for a long time.
You know, we weren't able to look at someone across jobs. You know, we just looked at them within the organization that we were surveying. But we didn't find strong effects. You know, we needed to naturally look for, well, were there certain toxic employees that were placed with certain managers, or were they handled any differently right on up front in a way that would have influenced our results? And the good news is, for the purposes of our experiment, it was actually fairly random, that at least initially they weren't treated any differently than their non-toxic counterparts. And so that created a really good experiment, an opportunity to examine, okay, how did these people behave, given that they were assigned to the same managers, the same teams, the same coworkers?
So is part of what you're doing now to come up with effective screens in the hiring process to try to figure out who might be toxic?
Yeah, exactly. And actually, I would say we covered the screening piece pretty well in the original paper, but naturally our heads go down the line, which is, can we identify interventions that can potentially fix? Well, I'm sorry, it's two pieces. One is, what's the causal mechanism, right? We see that they have this hugely deleterious effect on coworkers. How does that work? Is that observed behavior? Is that direct interaction? And then second, given that we can try to understand what's causing this, can we design an intervention? And can we do A-B tests in which we divide up the workplace, the workforce, and treat them in different ways? And are there ways to reduce these effects? So that's naturally where our heads go once we find that there's this big effect that's worth talking about.
All right. It seems like a lot of people can relate to having been around toxic workers. Michael Hausman is the Chief Analytics Officer at Cornerstone On Demand. Thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Yeah, thank you very much.